our leadership growth happens through, unfortunately, people. And so as people come into our practices, we train them, we lead them, we don't do things well, we do things well. At some point, maybe that person doesn't grow in the same direction and we have to make a change. A lot of that could be because of our leadership.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Hope you're doing well. I'm dating this episode here a little bit, but it's about to be like Snowmageddon in Nashville. We'll see. Don't buy it. What annoys me more is when they like cancel flights and there's like zero precipitation in anticipation. But I guess that's how it works these days. Anyways, this episode is going to be, it's a juicy one. I'm going to be talking about just basically moving on from employees and doctors and the challenges that comes with overcoming, I guess, the like making the decision to do it, and actually carrying out the decision to do it, and then how you recover from said decision. Very pertinent to me as I let go of a doctor yesterday. Anyways, before we jump into that, hey, it is Summit is coming up, Orlando. Our lineup is like silly good. Like seriously, it's silly good. If you're not coming, you're crazy. If you're not bringing some team members, you're crazy. Craig Spodak, Grant Olson. If you don't know about Grant, I can tell you a little bit about all these people. Craig is like, he's awesome. He's been a mentor to me. He owns a Bulletproof podcast, him and Peter. Craig owns a big, like multi-million dollar machine, really big on culture and team growth and that sort of thing. Grant Olson's in Missouri, middle of nowhere, Missouri, has a huge, massive implant, done an unbelievable job of personal branding using YouTube marketing. That'll be great. Dr. Payray, how about that? Like the man, probably the greatest implant dentist of my generation, I would say. He's speaking, which will be awesome. Diana Tadros, she's the exocad queen, beauty in the teeth on Instagram. She'll be talking. Dabal Patel, if you don't know Dabal, Keep Sarenking Facebook group. He's awesome. The list is still going. And Matt Najad out of Beverly Hills, doing all this like biomedic crazy, just awesome stuff. Building value into people paying money for fee-for-service dentistry, some of that stuff. So the lineup is insane. It's a lot more clinical. It's a good base of clinical and business and team growth and whatnot. And then Tiwan and I are speaking as well. So you got that. I'm super excited about what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you yet, but I actually do know, which is pretty impressive for me actually this far out that I know what I'm talking about, but it will be around team accountability and, how do you scale people as your business grows? That's super important, but let's jump right into the episode. Yeah. So it's been a hard week and this was actually fitting because another doc sent me a message this week. It was like, hey, I think this would be a good topic after last week's episode. And I was like, that is good timing. That's probably a good episode to talk about. And like, we've all got employees that, and we'll start on the employee side and then we'll move to the doctor side. Most of us either acquired a practice with legacy team members or we've built a practice with team members. And at some point the practice naturally outgrows people. Now, my first line of defense in when I'm outgrowing people is to not necessarily be like, they have to let them go. It's to try to see if they're just the right person, but they're on the wrong seat. And so we talk a lot about seats on the bus. And so if you think about your practice as a bus that's driving down the road, you have different seats and those seats change over time. You may grow seats, you may reduce seats. And, and so people can move around seats. And I've had a decent amount of success with moving people around in seats as the practice has grown and maybe outgrown people. We have two team members, Melanie and Darlene, who've been with us, basically my dad. I mean, they've been with the practice 35 years. And by all normal, probably, thought process, they would not have survived the transition between from my dad as a solo doc 10 years ago to what this is now. Like there's no way. Except for changing, evolving with seats on the bus and changing and using their strengths and weaknesses. So the first time I try to look at it is, can I move by people on the bus? So I'll take Melanie, for example. Melanie was a hygienist, and part of it was she was clinically kind of getting to the point where she couldn't keep up in doing all the things that we needed to do, right? The work of scaling teeth, the photos, like it's a lot of stuff. And so she was kind of getting to the point where she couldn't do that. So we had a conversation about like, hey, are there other opportunities in the practice for you to do? And she ended up moving into initially like a sterile tech role. And it was kind of a creative process for both of us because she was, obviously I wasn't going to pay a sterile tech hygiene wage, but I also wasn't going to pay a hygienist moving to a sterile tech wage because she could numb for us. She could take records for us. It wasn't like she couldn't do things. It was, she couldn't do it 8 patients a day every day. So that was like a really good transition for us because it just was, again, kind of like trying to be open-minded, thinking about where can we grow, what are the seats on the bus. And so Melanie moved into this sterile tech role. Well, that really freed up our assistants. That freeing up the assistants allowed Andrea at the time to move away from chairside assisting and start doing 3D printing in our practice. This is like 2017, 2016, something like that. And getting like our 3D printing program off the ground. You know, we were buying time back. And again, kind of trying to create more bandwidth for our people because it was already maxed. Then at some point, we had a front office challenge, and I ended up like going to Melanie, like, "Hey, you know the clinical aspect, you know the patients, you've been here forever. What do you think about going and working up front?" And like, she worked up front for like a year or two, and then now she's kind of found her long term home, and that's she's our surgical practice sterile tech. That also can kind of jump in and assist, like it's helping with inventory and also numbs our patients for the surgeries, you know, once they're sedated and whatnot. And so it's been like really cool to kind of see her evolve and move into different seats on the bus through the last 10 years when reality is if we go back and we just kind of try to force her into that same seat, she wouldn't be here anymore. Darlene's kind of the second one. Darlene is an assistant. Now she hasn't had such crazy change, but she has gone, her seat has changed in that she doesn't work with the same doctor, right? So like she worked with dad, then she worked with me, then she worked with our first associate. And so she's kind of been the one that has primarily been the first assistant that associates work with when they come into the practice. And that's because, like, she gets it, right? She understands the culture and which way we want to do things and the vision. And so, although she is definitely not, you know, and I would tell her this to her face, has not necessarily kept up with all of the technical and surgical and digital aspects of what we do, what she has done is maintain, you know, relationship and understanding of the vision and what we do. And over time, she's evolved in a lot of those areas. But if we had just relied on her to be like a traditional assistant and what we needed or what I needed in that role, it wouldn't have happened. So these are open conversations that I think should be happening with team members as the seat that they're on is outgrowing what they're doing. Is how do we handle that and do that? And we try to create opportunity and set expectations. Now, the hard part about this is like, not everybody's going to meet those expectations. And then they're going to like, you're going to get to the point where you're like, I've got to make a change. And, you know, I had to make a lot of hard decisions in the past, and look, it is the weight that you carry as an owner. And a big reason why DSOs and group practices and frankly are doing better in a lot of areas, especially in profitability, is that they're more willing to make harder decisions because they're not emotionally involved. That's hard. And, you know, and so you have to, but I tell my dad, like I ask my dad a lot of times, like in hindsight, when have we let somebody go and then moved forward? And at some point in the future, maybe it's not the first time, maybe it's not immediately, but if at some point, 12 months, 18, 21 months down the road, are we not in a better position with a new hire? Has the practice not grown? Has the practice not evolved? have we not moved forward in a way that is beneficial? In given time, every single one of those answers is always yes. And part of this is because I think that we as leaders need the change, and like we suck, frankly. And so what happens is like our leadership growth happens through, unfortunately, people. And so as people come into our practices, we train them, we lead them, we don't do things well, we do things well. At some point, maybe that person doesn't grow in the same direction and we have to make a change. A lot of that could be because of our leadership. Like I go back to, if I went back now as a leader, back to 2018, 2019, some of those employees would probably still be here. But that's the hard part, is they're almost like a casualty of growth, if that makes sense. That's kind of a good title for the episode. You have these casualties of growth that happen that you almost can't stop. And a lot of times that's longer term team members, just because they can't get to seeing the vision. You know, we're not patient enough, they're not moving fast enough, who knows what it is. And so what I try to do is I try to set expectations and clearly outline them so that if they don't meet the expectations, it's not a surprise to people. Now, naturally, I feel like it ends up being a surprise to people. That's probably why isn't working out to begin with, because if I feel like I'm making it clear, but it's not landing, well, case in point, right? Now, part of that could be me, but I've evolved over the years and kind of realized that some people just aren't going to get it. And so if they say they're surprised, that's not on me, that's on them. Earlier on, it was probably the other way around. They were surprised, and rightfully so, because I didn't set any expectations. So you got to kind of have an internal pulse on that. Are you doing the job correctly of letting the patients know, or the patients, letting your team members and potentially doctors know what's not working well, and if we don't get these things corrected, then they're going to change. So when I have to make the decision, especially with longer term team members, one of the things that I like to do is obviously I will talk to my office leader, and sometimes I'll even talk to some of my core team members. You know, that wasn't as much early on, it was probably a smaller knit group. But at this point, you know, at our size, we're 28, 30 employees. There's a group of people that I almost will consult, because not that they're going to completely impact the decision, but they just give me a different pulse on, am I feeling what I should feel? Have I given this person enough chance? Is this the right decision? And that can be really helpful, you know, and an area where I also was really bad that I would tell you, encourage you to start doing better job at, is documenting the issues that arise with people that are leading towards maybe having to make a change. That could be as simple as someone's not getting photos. We had a disgruntled patient because we got a 1-star review. We got, you know, whatever it looks like, being more intentional about documenting the conversations that we have in a formal way. Something about us as dentists and being owners and leaders and whatnot is we're afraid of being too formal when it comes to disciplinary action and or giving critical feedback when things aren't going well. I think that there is something that different that lands different when you have more of a formal documentation process or writing up someone, et cetera. And hey, we're not getting this done, because it just paints a different lens through the importance of what's happening. It also makes it easier, because then it's like I have a laundry list of things and reasons why I'm doing this. This isn't a surprise. You've been written up 12 times. Again, I didn't do that or make a point to do that early on. And so that was challenging. So I consult with the people, and then I role play. Right. Cause I want to know what I'm going to say. We tend to talk too much. You know, there really doesn't need to be a lot that's said. And I'm focusing this conversation more on people that have been there, not just people that are they came very quickly. We didn't need them. We need to fire them. But people that personally we like, personally we connect with, personally they're good people. It's not a fit issue when it comes to culture and personality. These are the ones that we hang on to that hold the business back, that are the hard ones, that we've got to be more intentional with. It's that there's professional challenges, not personal ones. And so I'll consult with people, I'll role play it, and then ultimately there comes a moment where it's like, hey, we got to sit down and talk about it. And, you know, and I usually start conversations with like, this sucks, because it does. Like I'm probably a little informal in that nature of being like, hey, this sucks. We've got to have a tough conversation. We're going to part ways. We're going to let you go. It's time for us to, you know, to move on from each other from a professional standpoint. You know, this sucks. I don't like it. I feel like we've made effort. I feel like neither one of us want this to happen, but it's just a point where it's time to happen. And I believe that in the future, like I will say this, because I truly do believe this, that when people aren't on the right seats on the bus, they can't thrive. And if I don't have the seat on the bus for you in my office, I'm holding you back. No different than you're holding me back. And that's, I think, something that we have to get through our heads and understand, because it's a difficult decision in the future, because the person that you're letting go or firing doesn't see the other side yet. And so you're making this decision and taking this leap of faith on, you know, them getting that. And at some point, you know, what I've seen firsthand is that doctors, employees that I've let go, they leave here with more knowledge than they came with, or they gain more knowledge than they had before. And they end up at some point in a better situation with lower stress, enjoying what they do, better what they do. And it's the right seat on the right bus for them. And so I will explain that to some degree, and, you know, and then that's more or less it. I mean, like, there's not a lot that can be said or needs to be said, because you can't rationalize a decision with somebody. I expect there to be emotion. It is hard. It's not something that they want. There's a level of fear in that. And then I always pay employees out at least 2 weeks, because, you know, I want them, if anything else, I want people to land on their feet. So even if you're like, if you were here maybe like a day, I probably wouldn't do that. But again, we're talking about people who are like, have been there a while. And I've even had conversations with one employee. I remember that was a longtime employee, Mary Pat. She's since passed away. But we had a conversation that was around like, hey, it's time for us to move on. But I want to do that in a way that honors the work and time you've spent. And so because of that, I want to set a date that's reasonable for both parties to kind of allow you to plan, find something new, et cetera. And that ended up being like a 60-day kind of, you know, wrap up, more or less. Now that's rare, but, you know, the right people in the right settings, that can be, this is someone who had been at the practice for 20 years, right? So I typically will always pay out 2 weeks, you know, so that they can go on and do their thing. Now let's kind of move on to yesterday. So before I get to that, the other part about this is like, I think it's super important that we're assessing what our options are out there. Like, is the grass always greener, you know? And so right now there's team members that I probably would, if I knew I had something better, I'd probably move on from. I just don't know. And so I like to have ads out, and I like to have areas where I'm constantly looking. So we have a careers page on our website. We typically promote on our social media that we're hiring different things more or less all the time. And I like to have Indeed outs that are not necessarily paid, but that there's ads out for our practice. And then when I'm thinking about making a change, I'll start to promote those ads, put some money behind it, because I want to know what's out there. I want to know what my options are. It's the luxury we have in that situation, so that I typically want to have a smooth transition into where we'll hire somebody before I let somebody go. Not always the case, but, you know, I think it's a good thing to do, because that usually will give you the extra push a lot of times that you need to make the tough decision, because you know you've got somebody coming in that can replace them. Yeah. So this last one was difficult, and I think it kind of will sum up some of this stuff, because about, I don't know, sometime last year, you know, I was having challenges with this employee, and, you know, we started challenges that like are difficult because they're clinical related and they're communication related, but I like the person and culturally they're a great fit in the practice and all those things. but the performance, like the clinical performance and what you need from a standpoint of like the bar that needs to be hit to be a doctor at Sullivan Dental Partners or employee at Sullivan Dental Partners, you know, was not being met on a consistent basis. So then I think it's our job to, you know, put the effort into training, coaching, resources, whatever it is to try and help these people continue to do it. And then there's got to be follow-up and accountability, right? And then what should happen is there should be a slow escalation, which I think I've done a better and better job of doing, that lets people know that, hey, we're getting to a point where if we don't see change, if we don't modify this, we're going to have to make a change. That's setting clear expectations. And you have to be accountable to that. Like, you have to follow up with that. You can't like cry wolf, right? And so, so you get to a point where you're like, it's no longer. And like, I've always told people, I'm like, if I stop coaching you, that's like usually like the writing's on the wall, you know? And I don't mean like completely stop coaching, but I mean like it should be apparent that if we're not making progress, that something might have to change. Yeah. And it's hard. You know, I'm worried about how does it affect the culture of the practice. You know, people don't understand. They're like, this person's great. This employee's great. The patients are like, this employee. I'm not speaking I'm just speaking out loud in like general terms at this point. You know, these team members are great, blah, blah, blah. It's like, gosh, yes, but you don't, unfortunately, you see the lens through the world that you live in and your idea and what the practice looks like. And that's very different than when you're sitting in the owner's seat. And it's hard because most people aren't going to agree with those decisions when personality wise, the person's a good fit for the practice. And those are the decisions I think that as a leader, you have to weigh, work through and make. And it's hard. The last 48 hours have not been like super enjoyable. You know, you have anxiety, you don't feel great about it. And, you know, now you get to the point where it's like, you start to feel like slowly, like the monkey's getting off your back, right? Like it's the girlfriend you should have probably dumped a long time ago. And you've been kind of holding on. I hope this is helpful. You know, if anything, I think what I hope you hear is just that it's, I don't think it ever gets easier, but I will tell you that it's worth it. And immediately at this point now on the other side, I go into the actionable steps, right? Like, okay, well, how do we continue to set ourselves up for success? What is the next man up, so to speak, look like to get them going, to get them off the ground, and then ultimately it's I want to be a practice. How do we support these people as they leave in their next ventures, you know, and support them and whatnot. So that's all I got for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, it's never going to be easy, but sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And hope y'all work smarter, harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.